For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
Hey everybody, it's Chandra Bettner Gray, and welcome to this Legal Light of Mine, where we take a look at the law of the land as it pertains to real estate and estate planning, and the law of the Lord and its instruction for our life. So before we get started, I just want to remind you that if you have any questions for our realty or our Die Right segment, you can email thislegallight@gmail.com. Again, it's thislegallight@gmail.com. I and my assistant will be monitoring that email and looking for your questions, and we'd be very happy to bring them to the podcast and answer them over the next couple weeks. This broadcast is being brought to you by my law firm, Bettner Gray Law Office in Burlington County, New Jersey. You can find us at www.bettnergraylaw.com or on Facebook at Bettner Gray Law and also Instagram at Bettner Gray Law. You can also give us a call at 609-479-1227. We specialize in real estate, estate planning, and landlord-tenant matters. So I'd be very happy to talk to you. Feel free to give me a call. Now let's start the show. Hey, so here we are with another episode, and I was thinking this week about what it means to be authentic or what it means to be real, and I wasn't thinking about it just to come up with a topic, but because I was dealing with a whole lot of interactions with people, professional and otherwise, who I just could not believe how inauthentic they were being or coming across as. And it made me reflect on myself. It made me reflect on what people's experience of me is and what I want it to be, both in professional arena and in, you know, my personal life and how I treat people and how I love on folks. And I want it to be authentic. I want it to come across as what it is, that it's sincere from a place of love and not a place motivated out of selfish gain. And I actually think, I really, really think that you can get more, you can go further, you'll have more impact when you really interact with folks from a real, loving, sincere, genuine place. That means even if, you know, what you're feeling or what you're thinking isn't exactly the most fluffy and ice cream and sprinkles, if you know what I mean, I think it matters to just be the truth. And yeah, we do have to be diplomatic at times. We have to be mindful of how we do and say things, but it's, in my opinion, it's far more impactful to just be sincere. So let me share with you a couple of experiences that I had this week that brought this to my mind. So one of my weaknesses, I guess you can say, as a business person, is that I really don't like to network. It's very anxiety-driven, I guess you can say, for me. I don't like the awkwardness of just kind of forcing my way and speaking to people who I don't know, kind of giving my business card out to everyone. In fact, more times than not, I only keep a handful on me and I only give them out if I'm asked for them because it doesn't come natural to me. Nevertheless, I decided to join a local business group and try to push myself. So I attended an event this week where there were maybe about 20 C-level executives. And it was really powerful. I was, I definitely was a different character in the room, at the table, literally. I always hear that saying, you know, we, especially as Black women, we need to have a seat at the table. I literally had a seat at the table this week, and I was just kind of in awe looking in the room at the various CEOs and managing, I don't know, executives, and it was pretty powerful to be sitting there. But as I was leaving, someone approached me to speak with me, and she actually had either her partner or a friend or someone with her. And it was really nice to have somebody speak to me. You know, I kind of was trying to speak to other people, but she came and made her way to speak to me. So I was very grateful. And we began to talk about, you know, what I was doing, and my podcast came up. She says, "So what is it about?" And I told her, "It's about law, and it's about my life, and it's about the Lord." And she was like, "Oh, that's perfect. I love everything that's kind of like God, because for me, everything is God and everything's spiritual." And she just went on and on and on about how she was also a spiritual person and anything can be God. And I was kind of taken aback, and I didn't really know what to say, because, you know, I don't think everything can be God. I mean, we can create little gods out of everything, but I don't think that's what she was saying. And, the thing that stood out to me was how her friend or her partner was looking at her. I couldn't even really, I tried to stay present, but I kind of zoned out on the expression of her business partner, because she was looking at her like, "Who are you? Who is this person? I've never heard you say that. I've never seen this spiritual part of you." She was utterly baffled. And I don't know if she intended to look that way, because every time she would catch me looking at her, she would kind of look back at me and smile, hoping probably to shroud her confusion at how she was trying to take in what her friend was saying to me. And when I left, I got in my car and I was kind of laughing about it. But I was really reflecting on the fact that she was looking at her like, "You're being fake and I don't understand it." And I thought about the ways in which we try to get ahead, get what we want for ourselves, whether financially or relationship-wise, by putting on a mask, by being this version of ourselves that we think is going to be palatable and likable and will get us further. And I just thought, if that's what I have to do to go to the next level as a business person, I don't want to do it. And I'd rather rely on being developed, having my character and my integrity developed by the Spirit of God and Him and His moving and His provision and His open doors, than to be reliant on pretending to be something or being a way that I am not naturally. My mother, when she passed away, one of the things that people said at her funeral over and over, and I guess at the time, like I said in the earlier episode, I was only 15 and I didn't understand a whole lot about life, but people kept saying this refrain, "Be real, be real. Pam always wanted us to be real." And now as an adult reflecting upon it, this is what that was about. It's about, who do we say we are? And are we actually that person? Do we love the way we say we love? You know, is our profession of faith authentic? Do we really know what we believe? Or are we just saying it because it's the right thing to say? Because we can know all the right stuff to say now. We know what to say in church. We know what to say in business. We know how to fake it till we make it. And that is very surface level. I will say sometimes you got to fake it till you make it, but that's only till you make it, because you got to make it. We can't just be living a life where we just faking it and we want folks to believe a thing that isn't true. And, you know, as business owners, that can't last very long, because people, consumers, they can pick up on, this is a sham. You know, this ain't real. She ain't bringing everything she's saying she's bringing to the table. So I know in my business, I work very hard to match what I'm promising with what I'm giving. In fact, to exceed what I'm giving than to what I'm saying, if that makes sense. So I want to promise, you know, a good amount. I want people to believe that they're going to be prioritized, that they're going to be treated right, that we're going to put effort into whatever it is that we're working on for them. But then when they get the outcome, when they get the results, I want them to be wowed. I want them to be like, "Well, my expectations were here, but you went beyond that." You know, I need to be the genuine article. I don't want to just be saying whatever. And that's in every part of my life.
You know, I don't want to pretend to the world that I'm a good mom. But when you interview my children, they giving everybody the side eye and saying, and maybe pleading the fifth. I want it to be, she is who she says she is. I know when I think about my parents, and I'll speak about my father, particularly, you know, that's my testimony. People always say, oh, your dad seems so nice. And he seems like, you know, a big teddy bear and all of that. And what's amazing to me is that I can look right at them, stand flat-footed and say, he is exactly the way he seems, like all of the time. He comes home and he's kind. He speaks to us the way he speaks to the people that he pastors and he interacts with. He's never been abusive. He's always been kind. He's always been loving. He's always preferred other folks over himself. That's powerful. And that's the kind of testimony that I want. And, you know, we talk about legacy, like we talked a lot about legacy, in the last episode. And this is the kind of legacy we want to have. One that is, this person was everything they professed themselves to be. It wasn't a show. It wasn't, putting on, you know, just because. Another side of being real, authentic, loving sincerely, I think, is confrontation. And that's another area that's difficult for folks, because we like to think of love as care and concern as something we see on TV that's one dimensional, that it's only all the good stuff, all of the butterflies, all of the let's hold hands or let's laugh until we're crying. But there is another side of real relationship or real concern for people, and that is confrontation. I attended another event also during the week, but it was kind of like a family-based event. And, you know, it was very nice. And this woman comes in, and I hadn't seen her in months. She kind of like disappeared off the face of the earth. And actually, one morning I woke up and God put her on my heart. So I text her and just let her know, you know, I'm thinking about you, miss you, blah, blah, blah. I heard that you were leaving or whatever. And, you know, just kind of sending my love and letting her know that she's still a part of my community as far as I was concerned. And she never responded. So at least a month or so went by, and then I saw her. So she came to me and she like gave me a hug and a kiss, kind of like, hey, girl. And I was stunned. I didn't say anything back. I just was like, I was stunned. And I was reflecting for maybe a few minutes after that about whether I should say something, whether I should confront her. And, you know, my natural tendency was not to. But ultimately, I went past that and I decided to go to her and say something. And I asked her, did she, you know, get my text? And she said she hadn't. Whether she did or didn't, I don't know. But I felt like I needed to say to her, when you came and hugged me and when you came and kissed me, I felt like that was fake. Because there's been no communication between us for 3 months. And I don't know like how the conversation went, but I really hope that the thing that stood out to her was, this girl ain't trying to just pretend with me in general. She just ain't trying to pretend. And I mean, maybe sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not, but I want to err on the side of being authentic. So we have yet to see what that will mean. And I was in no way nasty to her, and I hugged her and I told her I wished her the best, but I couldn't be comfortable just living in this phony place. You know, I wanted to, I don't know. I wanted to address it. I wanted to look at her in her face and say, hey, this is me for real. You know, when I said I loved you, I meant that. And that isn't something that just goes away because you don't want to talk to me. So, you know, I hope to inspire people just by being in relationship with them, just by loving on them, and including confronting them when I feel like things aren't exactly the way they need to be, that, you know, that I can inspire people to do and be the same thing. Because there's something powerful about really owning who we are and who we are becoming. And we can open ourselves up from this authentic place to let God come in and do work on us. when we are, when we're existing on the surface and we're being, you know, phony, we kind of also keep any real relationship spiritually and otherwise from landing in our life. You know, there's this barrier that keeps us from vulnerability. You know, maybe that's one of the reasons people stay at that fake and phony place. But, you know, we got to push ourselves. I think that especially those of us who are believers, we're called to this authentic place. We're called to worshiping in spirit and in truth. We're called to loving sincerely, loving before even ourselves sometimes. This is what God wants from us. And so we got to be light. That's how we can be light. Because if everybody is existing in a surface place in a fake and phony existence, or at least with a mask on, when we show up and we show up with the real sincere love of the Lord that's willing to confront and is willing to embrace and accept, we are the lights. We're walking in the light. And I think that's what we want to do. And especially even as business owners, you know, we have to think about the fact that sometimes we think, like, if I show up as the real me to this business meeting or this consultation or whatever, they're not going to want me. They're going to reject me. And the truth is, those are our issues. Those are not facts. We got to show up completely who we are and believe that who and what God has for us is going to be ours. We're not going to have to you know, fake it to convince people. We're not going to have to, I don't know, break wrists and arm wrestle people to make them do what we want them to do. It is our story. It is the truth of us. It is our testimony that's going to connect to who God has for us. And so that's a perfect segue into what I want to talk about in this next segment.
So let's move on to Real Tea on Realty. So what I was thinking about with regard to this was real estate agents, both how do you choose your real estate agent? And then from the agent's perspective, how do you distinguish yourself? How do you maintain relationships with your clients so that you can get more clients through referrals and really establish yourself? So with regard to the looking for real estate agents, I guess I probably should be asking the question more. What is the thing that makes a real estate agent stand out to you? You know, I think because we're talking about looking for a home, which in most cases is the largest investment a person will make in their life, you want to choose somebody who you can trust and someone who you believe will not lead you astray, who will take yours and your family's best interests into heaviest or heavy consideration. Someone who really, really is concerned about your best interest, and someone who knows what they're doing, who can really take you by your hand and walk you through things that you may not understand. So I guess then that would be my message to real estate agents. There's a lot of energy in the real estate community around competing because, and this is probably the case in any sales-driven type of work, you know, folks are working on commission. And so they want to be chosen. They want to be chosen most frequently, and they need to close the deal. Sometimes that means that you become whatever you feel like you need to become, like I was saying a little bit earlier, to convince folks to pick you and to go with you. And I was at that networking event that I referenced earlier, one of the people who were at the helm of the event were giving out these books for people who are trying to generate leads and figure out ways to grow and scale their business. And this book is called How to Prospect the Sandler Way. Now, I don't know who the person is, but there is a method of sales that has been developed by this gentleman named David Sandler. Now, I don't know the history. I probably should do some research. Maybe you can too. But I read a chapter in the book, and it was talking about distinguishing yourself as a salesperson
based on having a good rapport with potential clients. And it was saying there is a difference between a fake rapport and a real rapport. And that the fake rapport is kind of like that surface level interest in your client, you know, where you say things that sound like you're interested, but you're not really interested. You're just trying to get to the end. You know, you're trying to get whatever the outcome, in this case, sales, clientele, commission, whatever. You're just trying to say what you need to say to get there, versus a real rapport that actually stops and takes a real genuine interest in your client. And I am convinced, and obviously this book is also convinced, that building a real genuine rapport, not just that surface level, like, oh, hey, you know, how's life? And, you know, your family is a beautiful family. And, you know, all of those niceties that we say, but it doesn't come from the heart. We're not really interested and invested. We're just trying to get to where we want to get to. But instead, building a real rapport, really getting to know people, really asking the questions, you know, the probing questions to try to understand the goals and the desires of our potential client, and then going back and thinking about it and working through that and really trying to apply what we've heard to learn more of the people, to care about them, to care about, you know, their families, their hopes and all of that. You know, I understand that it's going to take a little bit more time. I understand that it might, you know, slow you down on getting to the closing table, but I'm convinced that it is the better way to go. And to once you have earned the trust, so to speak, of your clients, it doesn't just work for right now, but it works for the long term. Because once people trust you and they see that you really intend them well, they are more confident in referring other people to you. So when the next person in their circle comes and says, hey, I need to look for a house, or I'm ready to sell my house, or what have you, you come straight to their mind because they've experienced a real interaction, care, and concern about them. That's the thing that makes you different. Because when, you know, you go online and you start searching on Zillow or Trulia or whatever, all sorts of agents get, you know, notice or get cold leads off of those searches. And you'll get emails or you'll get calls and say, hey, I hear you're looking for a house. How can I help you? It's not that draws the heart of people. It's the real interest in them. You know, it's the taking time to really hear and not to rush them to the close that makes the difference, that distinguishes you. So I guess if I could encourage agents, and listen, I'm also an agent. I know what it's like to live on commission, and, you know, I didn't love it, but I know what it's like to have to distinguish yourself. And even as a attorney, you know, it's not like somebody else is paying the bills. You know, you want to have folks believe in you and trust your heart and your intentions and your services and your competency. And so you don't rely on anybody else. What you have to rely on is who you are and what you're bringing to the table. And so I think that we really can make the difference in who we are and not compete necessarily with other people and feel like we gotta, you know, be the bigger and the better and the best. And we have to appear a particular way when we can really focus in on caring about people, actually seeing people, actually hearing what they're saying. And that can make a world of difference for us to be successful as agents. And then in the choosing of our agents, you know, how do they make us feel? Does it seem like they're just racing us to the closing table, or are they really taking into consideration what we say when they take us on showings? Are they taking note of the reactions we have to things when we go in that kitchen and we say, you know what, I thought I wanted this, but then I saw maybe the countertops weren't the way I wanted, and I don't really want that. And then in the next showing, can you tell that they've taken into account what you said? So even in our sales or even in our purchasing of our home, this part matters. The authenticity matters, the genuine communication and understanding and hearing and speaking that matters. And so even in this, we want to be mindful of how we're proceeding, how we're considering other folks, because it makes a difference.
So that's it for the Realty on Realty. Okay, so let's move on to the Die Right segment. We want to talk about or take a look at ways in which we can prepare ourselves for the inevitable and we can make the way right for the folks who will be remaining when we go. So I had two gentlemen come into my office this week for consultation, and I was so moved by them being the provider and the protector for their loved ones and coming alone to prepare the way doing estate planning. One in particular, there may have been a question if you were to take into consideration what was going on, whether or not he would die right if he were to die today. And maybe there's no way around it. So let me tell you a little bit about the situation. He is a person who is married, but has been separated for years, but does not want to divorce because he wants to continue to provide for his existing legal wife in the way of insurance. So, you know, I thought I understood that heart and, you know, was very kind, but that was the only reason that he was maintaining his marriage and has been separated for many years and has a longtime significant other who he resides with. And I'm trying to tread lightly so I don't give any secrets to who I could possibly be speaking about. But this person wanted to find a way to provide for his significant other and continue to provide for his legal wife. Whether we want to be judgy or not, we all know somebody or a family where this was the situation, where the spouse died with a girlfriend and a wife, and nonsense happened because he or she did not make arrangements to help avoid extra undue headache and heartache, okay? But he thought it wise and prudent to come to get his affairs in order. So I was definitely impressed. I helped him to feel comfortable and say, hey, look, this is real life. No reason to pretend. Fake the funk, so to speak. You know what it is. I understand what it is. Let's put down what we need to put down as far as the documents are concerned. There wasn't a whole lot, but he did want to make sure that his significant other, who he couldn't provide for through the vehicle of marriage, that he provided for her. So by doing this, he is assuring that he dies in a way that considers everybody. And it doesn't leave too much of a mess. You know, I can't say that there won't be any mess. I don't know any of the interpersonal stuff. I don't know how the wife feels about the girlfriend or how the children feel or any of that. But to the extent that he could make a difference for when he was no longer here or when he is no longer here, he is doing that. And I thought, you know, what a great example of first of all, the significance of our estate planning documents, how they can provide something for the people that we love that maybe we don't have another way to provide it for them. So I was really moved by his deciding to do this. And I thought, like, you know, folks, maybe they shouldn't be having a girlfriend and a wife, but if you're going to do that, well, at least get your documents in order. So, you know, I thought that was real life, authentic way of getting your things in order and to the best of your ability, aside from having your eternity secure through, you know, salvation and knowing the Lord, to have everything in order to die the right way or as close as possible to the right way. So that's it for the Die Right segment and also for this episode. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us and all that you continue to do. We thank you for being the example of authenticity, the example of real, genuine love, and how you sent your son for us that we might be reconciled and drawn back to you, back to your heart, back in right relationship. And so we ask that you would give us the strength, the insight, the power to be authentic, to be who we say we are, to love the way we should love, to think of others more than we think of ourselves, to just be genuine in every kind of way in our worship, even when we're prospecting, we're trying to build our business and we're trying to draw clientele, that in everything that we do, that we have integrity and authenticity. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for another episode. And we ask God that you would give us whatever it is that we need to be better the next time around. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's it for the episode. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to talking to you next week.